Eliezer ben Doradiah, you may have heard about him already. If not, here's your chance to learn about one of the most heartfelt and encouraging tshuvos ever. And we'll talk a bit about four different tips for Yom Kippur, how to get into Yom Kippur spirit, practical tips. So I want to make sure that I have enough time for that. By the way, I'm looking around. I'm going to hand out to my shiur tomorrow vidui sheets, which are Hashamnu and Al-Chaitlis, to help you prepare to understand what the Hashamnu means. I'll try to make a couple extra copies, so I'll put them on my shelf, and if you're not in my shiur, you know, b'schus, you can still take a copy as well. A chance to prepare, learn the Hashamnu, learn the Al-Chaitz, rather than just coming there and slapping away, not knowing what you're saying. To see the Chai Adam associated different Averos with each letter of the Hashamnu, and to try to explain the Al-Chaitz to make them more relevant. Okay, Rav Eliezer ben Doradiah. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, we'll just read one source in it, source number Dalet. Amar Lav al Rav Eliezer ben Doradiah. Interesting that he's actually presented as a Rebbe. Hard to know, different versions. Some have him actually as one of the Hanayim. So even great people can suffer. Sometimes Chazal say, the greater your heart, the greater your imagination, the greater your talent. Kol ha-gadol mechavero, yitzor gadol himeno. So even if you very, very, no one is spared from the Yitzhara. David HaMelech is inspired from the Yitzhara. Everyone struggles with the Yitzhara. A little bit of a consolation. Don't think that you're out. Sometimes the Satan wants to convince us that we're so contaminated and we're so compromised and we have no choice and we become small people rather than big people and we understate ourselves rather than amplifying ourselves and rather than believing in ourselves and using the belief we have in ourselves to make real change as an incentive and a motivator for our tshuva. So Rav Eliezer ben Doradiah says, imagine how addictive these types of vices and failures can be. That you become so addictive that you have to be thorough. Every single zona in the world, every single zona known to man, he had visited. It became almost an obsession rather than a seduction or something, almost something he had to be pedantic about. He couldn't leave out one zona. Imagine that different types of zonas, some were more attractive, some were less, but he made sure he went through the entire roster, A to Z, every single zone. He was thorough. One of the great ironies of the modern world in which we've unleashed people and freedom to express and freedom to explore and freedom to define identity and freedom and freedom and freedom is that sometimes unlimited freedom serves as a gateway to tyranny. And the most tyrannical form of experience is to be addicted and not to control your time, not to control your schedule, not to control your resources. It's sad when you see people who are addicts. They're sapped of all free will and sapped of all decision making. They need a fix, and then it could be a chemical fix, and it could be a neural fix, and it could be a physical fix. And you have no ability to determine your life and schedule and time and money and crime and see people who become enslaved. And everything in life is careful calibration, and freedom has created tyranny, and sometimes the faceless tyrannies are much more tyrannical than the actual tyrannies of the past, in which there was just one person and one sovereign state that was tangible, that could be opposed or rebelled against, and now we live in a faceless tyranny in which cultural forces tyrannize us without us even knowing we're being tyrannized, without even knowing that we live in prison cells that have imaginary bars, but bars which nonetheless impede our movement and our decisions. So he found every single zona. But then he discovered one zona who lived the Krache Hayom, source number Dalit, Pamach Hashama, Sheesh Zona Achas the Krache Hayom. Vaisen Otelas Kistinarin Bishara. What made the zona so attractive to him? He had plenty of zonas. He had an address book. He had them all written down as Rolodex. Well, why do you need all of a sudden a zona? As you'll see soon, he travels seven seas and seven oceans and extensive efforts just to find. Why couldn't he make do with his zone at home? That's part of it, because part of sin is that we're just bored with the here and now and the day-to-day dreariness, and we're looking for titillation, looking for excitement, and we're looking for fantasy. I promise you that if any of the celebrities that we ogle would walk into the room right now, like Perry just walked in, he's going to turn around and close the door. If any of the celebrities, because it matters to close the door, you know, if any of the celebrities that we adore and we adulate, from athletes to celebrities to walk into this room without makeup, without the uniforms on, without Photoshop, without being doctored, Perry, please sit down, that they appear very normal. They won't look much different. But the reason that they attract so much of our interest is because life is very boring. Boring is the ticket of admission to accomplishment. You can either live a life of adventure, And always look for something new, and always look for something exciting. Think about high school. How many of you spend high school living from weekend to weekend? The days in the middle, or from event to event, from basketball game to basketball game, or from soccer match to soccer match, whether the matches you played, or the matches you wanted to watch, or the movies you wanted to see. Everything else, they were just the fillers. They were just the bridges to get to the next exciting event, the next adventure, the next movie, the next sequel, the next game, the next... That's the world of mediocrity. That's the world of emptiness. That's the world of just living from adventure to adventure. That's the world of wanting to feel your heart pumping really fast, being excited when your heart pumps fast. World of accomplishment, that's quiet. No heart pumping. No palpable, nothing's moving, but you just repeat your strokes day in, day. You want to be a good parent one day? Repetition, routine. Put your kid to sleep, same time every night, within a 5-minute radius, 5-minute window. Kids need stability. Kids need continuity. You're there. I've got this. I'm going to give you the same environment every night. The same dinner, not necessarily the same food, but the same schedule, the same dinner, the same go to sleep. That's how you grow. That's how you develop depth. If you want to dig deep into the ground, you got to put your shovel in again and again until they'll lose their stamina. They want to cut fresh ground. Let's go somewhere else and dig. That's why your trenches are very narrow, very shallow, because you're not digging again, repeatedly, repetition. So very much part of our sin is curiosity. We're bored by life. Modern man has actually created a term for existential boredom. It's called ennui. We're just bored with the sameness. We're bored with the pedestrian nature. We're looking for something. So much of sin is just fantasy wrapping reality and tantalizing us and being attracted to why do you think people have so many extramarital affairs at work? Because at home, it's just the same diapers and the same dishes and the same children and the same schedule, and it just feels the same and it loses its luster, and at work all of a sudden it's different, and people you don't know and people who adore you and massage your ego, and there's no chance. Unless there's a moral spirit, there's no chance in that contest, because one is so dreary and plain and one is so exciting and adventurous and getaway and exotic and wanderlust. So as part of it, the shoes in Krachei Hayam. I promise you, this zone, I've been down the block. Whatever, another zone, so I've hit X minus one, so who needs an X? But there's something different. There's exotic. I've got to feed my out there desire. And the second part is groupthink. Had she not demanded such a high price, then maybe she'd be less attractive. But she took an entire sack of gold, of kesef. So if everyone travels to her, there must be something special. I can't miss out. Everyone's watching this video. There must be something special about it. Another bastard of democracy. Group thoughts. You think you're democratic. You think you're thinking freely. What do you choose to watch? Ideas that rivet you? Ideas that attract you? Ideas that justify your time? Or it's a viral video. Everyone's watching it. The content may be silly. The content may be inane. But everyone's watching. There must be something else to be part of the group. Part of the group. So democratizing agents create undemocratic experiences. So she must be worth it. Maybe it's not. If everyone's following the headlines, it must be important. Maybe it isn't. Everyone's watching the game, must be. Maybe it isn't. 50 million people are watching, it must be important. Maybe it isn't. Maybe there's just mass thought rather than individual selection, individual decision making. You didn't decide that this zone was worth all the trip and worth all the expense and worth all the boats to get to ferry. If she demanded such a high price, then she must be worth it. So it's the fantasy. And it's the group thing that everyone's paying her that leads this Laza ben Dordaya, the halach, line number 3, the Avar la Shivan Haras. One of the Al-Khaytsi we cite is Al-Khaytsi Chachatanu Lefanacha, the Ritzas Raglayim Lahara. What does Ritzas Raglayim Lahara mean? Sometimes it's immediate. And sadly enough, in our day, so much of our failures are really immediate. I remember I used to get off in Brooklyn, I used to take the subway. I got off at Avenue J station. Right underneath the subway, there was a candy store, right next to a fish store. So first of all, they've since changed those stores, Perry. This is a long time ago. So first of all, it was disgusting just to walk into the candy store because you had to make it through the fish smell. But it was worth it. But everyone knew you don't pass the onion rings. Why? Because there was the chocolates and the candies. I'm sorry to tell this to you. So close to the end of your fast. There are the drinks, and then the pretzels, and then the chips, and the garlic chips, and the barbecue chips, and the onion rings, and that was the boundary to the back of the store. And the back of the store were the bad magazines. So some of us stopped at the onion rings, bad breath onion rings. Some of us went past the onion rings. But you have to make it through foul fish odor and onion rings to get to the back of the store. The back of the store is one click away. There's no back of the store, no fish odor, no onion rings. You're sitting at your desk, and it's one click away. Those are some types of chataim, and there's a pathology of that chait. And think about the pathology of that chait, what contributes to it, how to avoid it. But then sometimes there are chait that takes effort. We have to use our feet. We have to take time. And to be caught in such a long time to actually initiate and persevere and walk or run and travel. And what does that say about ourselves? What does it say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our lives? Sometimes it's easier to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to leave the room for a couple of minutes because I have a chait I need to do. So just please walk out for a few minutes so I can take a few clicks, so I can take a few moments. There's a trifecta which we recite in Vidoy. Chatanu, Avinu, Pashanu. Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati. So chet refers to negligence, misinformation, lack of information. Avon refers to lust and desire. And Pasha refers to rebellion. So we all think rebellion is Spinoza. Rebellion are an atheist. You become a communist. You walk out of religion. Rebellion, we're all temporary rebels. We're all passing rebels. We all ask Hashem, I need you to leave the room for a little bit. I need you to walk out of the room because right now, my needs are more important than you. My needs right now, I value as more important than you. I need you to step out or I'll step out, but I can't have you in the room. That's a momentary rebellion. That's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to leave. It's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want you here because I can't face you and attend to my needs at the same time. But how long could it last? A few minutes? You're sitting in your room. You're saying, what does it mean to be Ritzas Raglayim Lahara? How addicted must you be that you're just so crazed as you travel across the ocean, seven oceans? You're so people. You see people that are on drugs. They're crazed. You see people that are on alcohol. They become crazy. They lose sanity. They lose discretion. They lose people that are addicted to sex. They just lose. Remember, Bill Clinton was tracked to be one of the greatest presidents of the 20th century. Economy was buzzing. Communism fell. There was one superpower. This was pre-9/11. There was no terror threat. And he would have been documented as one of the... He could have been Mount Rushmore material. Mount Rushmore too. Because he was crazed. What was he thinking? Did he get away with it? A high school intern? Went in a janitor's closet in the Oval Office? They're going to find out. These things come out. The light of day shines upon these things. What are you going to sacrifice? It's become a laughing stock. It's become a punchline. It's a punchline. Like Bill Clinton. Oh, you Clintoned it up. Oh, you're Clinton. It's become a punchline rather than a legend. People are crazed. They lose their sense of, it's a crazy person. Seven, you've got a full roster of zones right down the block. Why are you traveling? People lose it. So what happens? He finds her. Halach, Bishas Hergol Davar. What's going to bring this person back from the brink? What's going to correct this Elazar ben Dardai? What's going to wake him up? Some Musar Shmu, who's Wednesday night Musar at the Gush, is going to hear a rousing fire and brimstone. He's with the Zona, Bishas Hergol Davar, and they're involved in the act, Eficha. She passes some body odor, some bodily gas, some digestive material. And then all fantasy is shattered. This is a celebrity? She's flesh and blood like me. I bleed, she bleeds. I go to the bathroom, she goes to the bathroom. My body decomposes, her body decomposes. Big deal. It's a big deal. Yeah, when it's photoshopped and doctored and framed and celebritized and something larger than life, all of a sudden it becomes a big deal. When you just see it, it's life. It's just a lot of dazzle and a lot of pizzazz, and a lot of glitter, but not much else. You've got to be able to see through the glitter in life. Don't let yourself become enraptured by the glitter. All of a sudden, it's all glitter, and everything is shiny, and fireworks, and loud clapping, and a lot to do. It's all just noise. It's all just framing, how you frame things. I tell you, those people walking, the athletes walking in this room, and they may be a little bigger, their body curves may be larger. Attractive celebrities, their body may be shaped differently. Same. No, not a big difference. I promise you, not that I'm looking at anyone in particular. Most of you guys are more handsome than most of the celebrities that you're looking at. And most of your sisters and your friends. And regular average people with acne, with disgusting hair days, with fat beer bellies, extra spare tires, but you just see them in a certain way, and they're pictured in a certain frame, in a certain context. And I'll have to see through it. All of a sudden, she's just like him. And not just like him, but it's a little disgusting. It's just a body, and bodies have... And then she tells him something else. She says, Kishem Shehefi Chazu Eina Chazer is line 3. The gas that I just expressed, I just delivered, it's irretrievable. I can't take that back. It creates a smell. Can't take it back. Can't hold it in anymore. Just like that's irretrievable. Line number 4, Kach Elazar ben Dordaya, Ein Mekabla Masa B'tshuva. You're lost. You're like gas. Can't take it back. It's one shot. Your life, so much of living in yeshiva, is transitioning from reading about other people's lives to realizing that now it's you. You're not on the sidelines reading stories about or viewing lives of your parents. Now, this is adult life. This is the one shot. You don't get a do-over in life. This is the one shot. And you either make it or break it. You either use it or abuse it, and you lose it. One shot. So all of a sudden, it dawned on him. Till now, he was looking on the outside. Life, morality, sinners. But now she made it very autobiographical. Now, no, you're now the metaphor. This gas is about you, your life. This gas is a metaphor for your life, not someone else's life. You've read about Elisha ben Avuya, you've read about Korach, you've read about Haman, you've read about people. It's you. You're the one. So he panics. Halach v'yashav bein harim v'gvos. He turns to the mountains and he says, Bakshu alai rachamim, line number 5. And they say, we're too busy. Atshan revakshim malecha. We're too busy. We have to worry about ourselves because there are nevuos in the end of days. I'll read this very quickly. Ki harim yamushu v'agvos timuten. The mountains are going to be pulverized. We have to daven for you. We have to daven for ourselves. He looks to the heavens. Amar shamayim varetz, line number 6. Bakshu alai rachamim. Amar, they said, we're too busy davening for our own fate in Achrus Hayamim because the heavens will be ransacked. Then he turns to the Cham and Levana, the moon and the sun. He says, help me, daven for me. They say, we have to daven for ourselves. He turns to the stars, help me, daven. What's happening here? Why is he turning to the stars? Why is he looking at stars and heavens? And why are they answering him? We're too busy davening. Throw it a little tefillah for us. Because sometimes the world feels fixed, and it isn't. Because sometimes these mountains seem very tall, and the heavens seem fixed, and the firmament seems firm, and the sun seems irrepressible. And so what am I, little Elazar ben Dordaya? I look to the larger forces. I'm just a small amoeba. I look to the mountains. I can't really shape myself. I'm a product. I'm not an author. I'm impressed upon. I don't create my reality. So, mountains, stars, sun, moon, let them do the heavy lifting. And he realizes it's not about a firm world. The world is an open world, and your life always remains an open book. Who will you be next year? Will you be the same person you are this year? Sadly enough, well, at your age, the answer is not as sad, because you really can be different. My age, it's really hard to make revolutionary change. You hope that you make incremental change at your life stage. Like, you can make revolutionary change. You can get very... Just think of the last month. I'm sure some of you couldn't recognize yourself now, or couldn't recognize yourself a month ago if you went back in time. And when I'm the guy that gets up for me, and even when I'm absolutely blitzed with exhaustion, or I'm the guy that really can learn 5-6 hours straight, or I'm the person that cares about midos and averos, and imagine 8 months of that, stacked, not just a month, but stacked 8 months of real hard work and continuity and being here every day and soaking in and working and growing. It's all open. Future is all unknown. That's why the Rambam dedicates so much attention to Bechira Chavshas in Ilchas Tshuva, because Tshuva reminds us that there is no predeterminism and nothing is a product of your past, because you can flip the switch and switch the narrative, and the only thing that forces are larger than yourselves. And so he realizes, because after he gets refuted and refused by all these forces, he says, Amar, he says, second to last line, Ein hadavar tali elebi. No one's helping me out here. We can all help. We can all help you. I'll be better than the mountains. I'll try to help you this year. Mountains are too busy. You know what? I'll be better than mountains. I'll try to daven for you. I really will. I'll try to help you out. All the Rebbeim will try to help you out. But if you're looking for a way to live life religiously, Ein Hadavar Taloi Ella B. Five words. You can either sit on the side and cave and complain, or you could decide to do something about it in your personal life or in Am Yisrael's life. Sit on the side and just let the narrative of Jewish people be written, or you can decide, I'm going to be part of that narrative. You can sideline yourself on the nice, comfortable place to live and let history unfold, or you can say, I'm going to carry history on my shoulders. You're going to let the theys, I told you I hate that four-letter word, they. Some people ask me, why do they? Well, if you refer to Chazal, it means they to you. Well, why the Rabbanim they? Why would you ever use that word which identifies yourself as an outside, isn't it? Who's going to be the Rabbanim here? Who's going to be Chazal here? Okay, we're no longer in the period of Chazal. We're going to be part of that Masara. You think Rav Soloveitchik used the word they? He became Rav Soloveitchik because he didn't envision a they, because he said, it's me. I've got to be the best I can. I've got to use my skills and resources to teach the next generation. I'm sure he sat up late at night and thought, I'll never be like my grandfather, Reb Chaim. I don't have his skills. I don't have his brains. I don't have his desire. I'm sure Reb Chaim thought, I'll never be the Vilna Gaon. I'm sure the Vilna Gaon said, I'll never be the Maharam, or else I'll never be the Ramban. But they all refused to use the word they. So stop using the word they. We. Now you can decide how to turn that we, how the we will express itself, but they, as if the theys making decisions that I'm not part of and affecting Torah, and I'll just sit on the sideline and just keep halachos and bare-bone halachic fidelity. In a davar tali elabi. Hiniach rosha bein berchav. He puts his head between his knees, second to last line. V'ga'a bibachia. And he starts moaning and shrieking. I said this so many times already. Yom Kippur can happen in a second. But to get to that second takes so much work. All it is a real tear. If a real tear comes out of your eye, and you feel so mortified, shamed, frustrated, sad, angry, a range of emotions, guilty, healthy emotions, and it causes you to cry, that's a simon that you're there. That's a simon that you're at the door. You're at the doorstep of tshuva. You're close. Because the gates of tears never close. Api kabali, you're not supposed to wipe away your tears. If you cry, you're supposed to let the tears cover them. How much of your face do you want to cleanse with your tears? Because tears are cleansing. Because they come from a deeper place, a place that we know is still pure. It hasn't been adulterated by everything that we've tried to filter, but unfortunately, it hasn't really been filtrated properly. But the tears are a deep, deep place of virtue and nobility and purity. When those tears come out, you know. And that's all it took for Reb Elazar ben Dardai, a lifelong sexual addict who's addicted to prostitutes. He sits there and he cries, Achi yatsa mishmasa, until he dies of a broken heart. You could be so angry with yourself and feel the waste and the frustration of a completely squandered life. Sometimes you see people that don't have the lives you've been given, and don't have the resources, and don't have the health, and don't have the wherewithal, and don't have the... And if you've been given this, you deserve it more. You earned it. And you obviously were given it to use it, to make something of it, to share it with people, to advance it. It's not supposed to be self-absorbed, but concentric circles. How many concentric circles can you build around you? How many people can you affect with the life you lead? Your family, your friends, your community, Am Yisrael, the state of Israel, all of a sudden, these are not foreign to you. Every single one of you has the ability to build like the nucleus of an atom in concentric circles and to really deeply impact people and to be Makadosh Shem Shemayim. And how many concentric circles can you build? And he just dies because evidently he was a Tana, or at least had Tana potential. And all that Tana potential wasted on one night after another night after another night, and what even like children. The prostitutes. Where did he leave? A trail of pleasure. And then he just vanished. And he vanished. Lifeless. No future, no name, no impact. And the Baskol announces, Yatza Baskol V'Amra, V'Leza Ben Dardaya Mezuma L'Chay Olam Haba. He's invited to Olam Haba. That's just the answer, he's invited. Because that's all it takes. And we hope that our tshuva is not just last minute, trying to offset a lifetime of licentiousness and dissolution. We hope that it's more a continuation and a natural result. That's all it takes, is that one tear. Don't give up on yourself. Sometimes you give up on yourself in Yom Kippur. Sometimes you try, and you're frustrated, and you feel it's blunted, and the tefillahs aren't accepted, and you feel fluxed and vexed, and it's not getting anywhere, and I'm not getting any traction. I'm just not, you never know. It could come at the end of Ne'ilah. It could come in the middle of Mincha. Hold on. It's a good segue to transition into my four tips for Yom Kippur. Maybe five. That's the first tip. Don't give up on yourself. You had a bad chakras, you had a bad musaf, your mind wandered, maru, it wasn't so great. Keep at it. You don't know. You're wearing yourself down. You're breaking down your ego. It's happening slowly but surely. I can tell you my first couple al-chaits, I bat about 500. 50%. 50% of the al-chaits I'm able to trace to my behavior. 50% of the al-chaits, that's not me. I'm not involved in that. So foreign. These are strange words to me. But it's really my ego in denial, trying to defend myself against the blunt of all these al-chaits. And then slowly when my ego disappears, and I'm willing to say, you know what, honesty is more important than ego. I'd rather have honesty. All of a sudden, the al-chaits start to resonate. Oh, yeah, if I think carefully, this is really me also. This is really me also. Then all of a sudden, I'm closer to 90% or 95% able to trace the al-chaits autobiographically. Again, I'm going to hand out al-chait booklets for people to read. That's one hint. Second hint, second tip. Try to imagine. I know you're not there yet, but hopefully after this Yom Kippur, after the next Yom Kippur. It's all about switching around 48 hours of your life. When you're young, Yom Kippur, the best day of the year, is Yud Aleph Tishrei. Everyone loves Yud Aleph Tishrei. Don't have to go through that again. The davening, the fasting, the length, it's hot. Got a whole year. I don't have to go through Yom Kippur an entire year. What a great day Yom Aleph Tishrei is. Come on, guys. Be honest, right? Best day of the year. Someone doesn't want forgery. Wants honesty. Worst day of the year? Test Tishrei. It's coming. And I have to go through Yom Kippur. I have to fast. I have to daven. I have to get all serious about life. And I have to, oh no. Yom Aleph Tishrei. Catharsis. Release. You don't have to go. Then Purim time comes, and oh, my Rebbe's going to give that Vartar again, Kippurim, Yom Kippurim. I have to think about the fact that 6 months now, and Yom Kippur's coming. And then it's Tisha B'Av, and Elul, and Shofar, and Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur's made Tshuva, and Shabbos, okay, I don't want this. And then something happens, and it's really the sign of religious maturity. You flip the switch. And my saddest day of the year, honestly, is Yud Aleph Tishrei. And I'll tell you why. And my happiest day of the year is Tes Tishrei and Yud Tishrei. I'm so psyched. I'm so pumped. One day a year, I get to taste what Olam Haba is like. Because that's what your future is. It's not just your Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. It's Shana N. In Olam Haba. Because there's no food. And there's no sleep in Olam Haba. There's no drink. Nothing physical. It's just you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all you need. To be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in this world we're held down. Because our stomachs grumble. And our body is weak. And our spirit oscillates because our body loses its strength. We care about sleep. We care about food. But you know. You really shouldn't, but you can't, but you know you shouldn't. Gut check, guys. Think about what you're feeling right now. I promise you in an hour you're going to feel a lot worse. It'll be heavy. Your stomach will be churning. You feel a lot less alive. Because the food is occupying you, because you're feeling. Of course you have to eat. You won't want to eat. We'll all enjoy eating. I will also. But come on, come with me. If you could lock in the feeling you have right now, most of you, just lock it in. You're alive. Your spirit is free. You're not tethered to anything. And you can live that way without this grumbling and the pain and the desire and the appetite. Just live that way. Who's it? Who's on board? Who's just say, this is, I don't need food. I don't need sleep. I'm not a product of all this. I'm alive. I'm not being drawn. Everything is distracting. We have to, because that's how we live our lives. Don't get me. I don't want you fasting our lives. I don't want you to go sleep deprived. We can lock it in for one day. For one day, I taste my own. It's not about a day of kapara. That's one of the dramas of the day. It's about being immersed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being in the presence of Hashem and not caring. And when you taste that, you can't get enough of it. You want it to last forever. I feel so sad when Yom Kippur screeches to, oh, no. Go back. I have to. I have a choice. I have to go back to that world of food. To go back to that world of caring about sleep. To go back to that world of pettiness. To go back to that world of being a small person. To go back to that world of frustration. I no longer, Hashem chose to kick me out of heaven. Because sometimes I reach that point where I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's my authentic feel. I just want to be with you. And you decide where that should be. You want to be in this world? Send me back. Want to be with you in the next world? Take me now. And I believe that He wants us to be in this world for as long as possible. That's why He creates survivalist instinct. We want to live, and we want to live, and preservation instinct, because there's so much we can accomplish. But if you really want to take ego out of the equation, it's really about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asei lemanchem lo lemaneinu. Asei lemanchem v'yoshiyanu. You decide, and I know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're Melech HaChayim, and you're Otzeh B'chayim, and you're Kosevena B'sefer HaChayim. So I know that's what you want. But it's not because I want it, because I know you want it. The fact that I want it is because you put it in me. But I don't want it for selfish reasons. I don't want it so I can eat some more food, make some more money. My team should win another Super Bowl. My team should win another championship. It's a great time. I want it because you put it in me, and if you put it in me, it must be that it's virtuous and it's noble and it's pure, and therefore I'm on board. I'm on board because you gave me the desire for life. You gave me the desire to live. It's you. My desire to live is not me against you. I'm trying to fight you for another year. I'm trying to negotiate with you for another lease on life. It's you gave me this desire to live, so evidently you want me to live. And evidently I should also want to live, because you made me want to live. Because if you didn't give it to me, then you'd be more important than life. So why would I be bargaining you versus life? So you decide, and obviously you want me to be on this earth, so please put me back on this earth and restore another year for me. Give me another 1-year contract. Dodgers had a very, LA Dodgers, for a famous baseball team, had a very famous manager called Tommy Lasorda. Legendary manager. In 1-year contracts. 27, 28 years, 1-year contract. Every single person in this room is a 1-year contract. The contract ends. Don't think you're alive. You're alive because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides another 1-year contract. Another 1-year contract. So here's the tip. How do you reach that? Well, you can walk away from food, that you know, halachically. If you walk away from sleep, obviously you have to sleep to get your body strong enough to be able to weather it through, but you're not really sleeping that much, so that's pretty good. You're not taking naps Yom Kippur afternoon. You're just just maintaining your body. But how do you really walk away from this world? Take off your handcuffs. What does that mean? You have handcuffs? Take off your shackles. We see there's something that's even more enslaving than food and sleep. And it's called time. Because we all live in time. Right now, you're listening more or less intently. By the back of your minds, you know this is going to end in about 10 minutes. So you're capping the experience and you're framing it. It's an experience. It's part. It's not my life. It's part. Because time will go on and this will end. And don't worry, it will end. How many people cap their Yom Kippur and dilute it and moderate it? He's looking at the watch. Okay, 2 hours have passed. 24.3 hours left. I've already done 13%. I now have 87%. Okay, now 7 hours have passed. 1670 seconds have passed. And it's a psychological flight. You're fleeing the intensity and the immersion of Yom Kippur. I can only tell you, not hundreds of people, thousands of people have listened to this and told me it's helped them. Walk into the Beis Medrash, take your watch off, put it on the side, and just lose sense of time. Forget time. Make believe you're living, because that's what Olam Haba is. It's not time. And that's why the experiences are so luxurious and so intense, because they're not time-bounded. Psychologically time-bounded. Even before the time ends, you're anticipating the conclusion and the closure, and therefore you're changing it. It's just endless. an endless ocean. It makes the ocean so powerful. It's endless. You don't see any joy. It's endless. Skies are endless. Create endless Yom Kippur. Take your watch off when you come in at night. Try it. And then take your watch off and need your watch when you go to sleep to find out when to go to sleep. And when. Then when you walk in at 6:30 or whatever davening starts, take it off. And then you'll realize, all of a sudden, it's now 6:30 at night. And this has been an experience that hasn't been pockmarked by time fracturing and time dissection. I can promise you this will be effective. And since, as I said, my second or third tip is, you see, Yom Kippur is really like Purim. And on Purim, we all dress up. And Yom Kippur, we all try to undress ourselves and take off our masks. But there's one being that dresses up on Yom Kippur. For him, it's Purim. And that's the Satan. And I'll tell you the Satan's costume on Purim. Because he knows that if he comes as the Satan with a pitchfork and a oily mustache and he tries to convince you, don't go to shul. He's fighting an uphill battle. He's going to lose that battle. These are firm kids. These are firm people. Don't go to shul. Stay on, watch TV. Eat some food. Well, anyways, doesn't stand a chance. He's smarter than that. A little more seasoned than that. He's going to dissuade guys in this room not to daven Yom Kippur. But this is costume on Yom Kippur. This year, he's going to come dressed. He's going to come dressed this year as Wednesday. He's going to come dressed this year as Wednesday. Because on Yom Kippur on Tuesday, Yom Kippur Wednesday, I'm a little tired also. He's going to want you to think about everything you're going to do on Thursday. Friends, tefillin, parents who are coming, hotels, pizza. Because that's his way, that's your retreat. Because, yeah, this is all just 24 hours. It's a nice religious experience. But I'll wake up from it, and the buses will be running. The movies will be screening, and the food will be served. And that's just your psychological fleeing from the intensity of Yom Kippur. Try to avoid thinking about Thursday. Because again, if you're really honest, come on, really be honest. Really, really be honest. Aren't we davening for the world to end on Wednesday? Is that what we're really davening for? Because if you're not, then you're not really davening. Aren't we davening for it to really work? And when we hear the shofar blowing and we say, L'shana ba b'Yushalayim, all of a sudden the big shofar blows, everyone comes to Yushalayim, and the world as we know it ends. And all those plans, it is vanished. And the world you daven for is here. If you can't envision that, then you're still basically hedging your bets. Okay, I'll go with this experience, but I know tomorrow I'll really get back to myself. And I'll dip my toes in the water a little bit, get a little wet, get a little clean, but I jump all in. My me is really on Thursday. Part of me is on Wednesday. Part of me is on Wednesday. Fight it, guys. I promise you. Listen to my voice. I promise you. Thursday is going to come crawling into your imagination. Fight it. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. If I could snap my fingers, today is the rest of my reality. A day that I don't need to eat, because I'm with Hashem. A day that I don't need to worry, because I'm with Hashem. It may happen. If it doesn't happen, I'll go to Thursday. But until it doesn't happen, I'm fighting it. I'm making believe Wednesday is lasting forever. Those are ways to really immerse in Yom Kippur. I'll share some more as the time goes on. Take your watch off and fight against Thursday. Because Thursday is the Satan's costume on Yom Kippur. Let's go, Dadman.